Ladies and gentlemen, yes, we are in fact live on the Wrestling Travel YouTube. I apologize for jumping in there, but it looked like this is my esteemed colleague's first attempt with the software, so I thought I'd jump in and ease the passage a little bit. Danny, would you like to introduce yourself to the group?
It actually stopped on 17 there for me, so I was sort of waiting, and I saw your faces like there's something had gone wrong there. But no, welcome to Wrestling Travel Podcast Episode 10. For the first time ever in our podcast history, we're doing this live, and we've got some special guests from all around the world. The first, of course, our host of the lockdown sessions and our US representative, Justin Clapper. We've also got SportsKeeda's senior journalist, Tom Collar, who usually is a regular on our podcast. And this week, we've got a special guest in the form of Mad Dog Mike Angus, legendary Northwest ring announcer. First of all, Mad Dog, how are you doing today?
Yeah, great, Danny. How you been, man? You been okay?
Yeah, not too bad. Thank you very much, considering the circumstances over here in the UK at the moment. But hopefully things will get better soon. And Tom, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing very good, thank you. It is a wonderful time to be trying to watch wrestling over here when there's so few wrestling actually going on. But we still find ways to entertain ourselves, don't we? The wonder that is America still putting out plenty of content at least.
Yeah, man, speaking of America, Justin, JC, how are you doing?
Hey, everything is going great. Just getting excited here for Warrior Wrestling coming up here on Saturday in Chicago. So got some great live wrestling been going on. I'm sorry that you guys, it's been a little slow over there, but over here they've been pumping it out left, right, and center.
Fantastic. But first of all, before we do kick off this episode, I want to take a bit of time just to obviously today is World Suicide Prevention Day, and of course we want to highlight, of course, all the numbers and contacts that you can reach out to obviously help you if you are struggling at this time. There is always someone there if you are in trouble or in need of someone to speak to. So always remember that. Wrestling Travel's DMs are always open, and there are some numbers at the bottom and there for the Samaritans in the UK and also the Crisis Helpline in the US. But diving into the wrestling, let's take a look at last Friday, SmackDown. We've got a match set up for the championship at Clash of Champions, Roman Reigns versus Jey Uso. I'll start with Tom. What are your thoughts about that one?
Well, it's definitely going to be a match we haven't really seen much, and that makes it very interesting. I think we've also got a nice clash of styles in the high flying from Jey Uso and the ground and pound coming from Roman. And really, it's just such a, even though they are so closely related and so close, even just when it comes to friendship, we have such this wonderful, completely different side of the train tracks clash of styles, as it were, not just in alignment, but also in style and also in who they work with at the moment. It does look like it's going to be a very brief sort of feud, and it does look like it's going to offer something new, something interesting, something that both men really want to do. And it's a good way to use someone who isn't in a tag team at the minute because of an injury. So I'm really excited for it.
Mad Dog, your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think it's a great use of him because, you know, Jay's been, he's been sitting at home not doing much the last few weeks. And, you know, it's going to be good to see what they do with him versus Roman. You know, the likelihood or possibility is that, you know, Roman's going to get the big squash possibly there. But then could it be a storyline? Could it be an angle? You know, is Jay going to be joining Mr. Heyman and Mr. Reigns as well, possibly? Or is it it's not going to be a finger poke of doom, is it, Justin?
I tell you what, I sure hope not. But I'm always excited when you get dynamic tag team wrestlers and you get them out in a singles match one-on-one just to kind of watch what they're made of. And it's unexpected for me that they would give him that push. So I'm all excited for it. And you know, love the Usos, love Roman, love what they're doing with Heyman. So I'm actually looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, me personally, I do always love a sort of real life family feud that goes on in wrestling, and very excited to see where this one goes. But of course, expecting Roman to get the win, but I wouldn't be surprised as well if there is some sort of controversy there involving Jey Uso, maybe aligning himself with those guys, Paul Heyman and Reigns moving forward. Moving into the weekend, AEW All Out. Tom, what were your thoughts about the event itself? Myself, personally, I thought it was a very weird first hour or so, but then it sort of kicked into gear the second part of the event, obviously after the sort of incident with Matt Hardy. What was your reflection of that event?
Well, it was, when it comes to sitting down and watching a wrestling show, that first hour felt quite hectic and quite strange. And a lot of that was being bumped out of things by maybe a few little mistakes. Matt Sydal in his introduction certainly took a few people out of it. The tooth and nail match maybe wasn't what they were initially expecting. And certainly as a wrestling fan, if you're sitting down to the main show and that's the first thing you watch, you expect the rest of the show to be like that. And it really wasn't. The Matt Hardy spot is definitely at some point, I'm sure, going to be discussed here, but it looked like it was just very poorly set up. Really, when you look at how the table was set, where they were elevated, it just looked like it wasn't planned as well as it could be. That seemed to take a lot of people out of it. After that, however, it really settled into rhythm. We had a tag title match. We had the Mimosa Mayhem. We had the women's title match. And then we had the main event that really, all four of those matches slid together so smoothly and was AEW at its best. It's just a shame that there were mistakes and some confusing moments leading into it.
Yeah, Mad Dog, did you catch All Out this weekend?
Yeah, I watched All Out. As Tom mentioned there, you know, I didn't feel like it was AEW's best pay-per-view that they've put on so far. You know, I thought like the first hour was a bit wishy-washy. I wouldn't have started with the Britt Baker Swole match, to be honest. It was it was what it was, but I think that could have been further on in the card. I think ideally the Young Bucks and Jurassic Express should have been first on the card, and it would have been better having those two matches switched, because that was a great opening match. And, you know, really, you know, it told a story. It was dynamic. It was great for all the guys involved in it. And, you know, it did tell a story. And then you could have gone on to the Britt Baker and Swole match then after that. I think that would have worked. And drawn people in a lot better to watching the show, you know. But, Mimosa Mayhem as well, something different, something to look out for. So, I was intrigued by the show. And, you know, there was obviously the bits that didn't go quite to plan. And, you know, you can't really, a lot of people did get stuck up over them a little bit. So, you know, that spoiled it a little bit for AEW there, unfortunately.
Yeah, Justin, what was your take of the event?
Well, I do agree with Mad Dog. If you're going to have a cinematic match, put that in your back pocket so you have something. How awesome would that have been to have to go to after the Matt Hardy incident? You got this cinematic match in your back pocket. You want to open up to a live audience. I'm not a big fan of a lot of the things going on over there. I'm a huge fan of the guys and girls having an awesome place to work, but it does seem we're losing a little bit when people are calling it the Super Indie. And I don't want to come down on anything, but a lot of stuff could have been done so much better. I was highly disappointed the way the Matt Hardy incident was handled, not just by AEW, but comparing that to the Matt Sydal thing, a lot of people went right to Twitter and voiced how upset they were with the AEW's handling of the Matt Hardy incident. He could have been seriously hurt. And in the same vein said, oh, ha, 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 look at Matt Sydal. He fell. He doesn't even know how to do a shooting star press. No, you can't have it both ways. Both spots, potential for injury right there. So should have been treated seriously. And I understand we are talking about, you know, probably a minority of wrestling fans, but that's all it takes. It just was really, really disappointing. Watching Jericho go from a year ago to this dominant heel champion. being to now sitting in a cup of mimosa. To me, I want a little bit more out of my wrestling, especially out of a legend like that. But at the same time, he's the guy that's going to go do whatever he has to put people over. I still feel like he's got a lot left in the tank there as a dominant heel champion, dominant heel wrestler. So it's disappointing. So I'm up and down. I don't want to crap on the product. I'm happy people have other places to work. But at the same time, I think there could be something better done. The announcers, I mean, have they checked out or what's happening here? You know, I want to see them take the product seriously. That's the main thing. Mad Dog, you're a ring announcer. If you're in the ring and you're going, ah, ha, 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 here's what we have up next. Oh, that was ridiculous. I mean, you're the first guy that has to take the product seriously. When you're watching it.
That's it, exactly. That's something we get told a lot. You know, you've just got to keep your game face on, and it's, you know, you've got to take it as serious as possible with things like that. So.
Yeah, and then, listening to the commentary, it just doesn't seem like that. I don't know what you think, Danny.
Yeah, I mean, after that incident with Matt, obviously with the concern and everything there, I was a bit disappointed how they sort of, you know, kept bringing it up sort of afterwards through the show, obviously giving us updates, but I just felt it was a bit unnecessary with what they were sort of saying as well. And obviously there's been conflicting reports this week as to, you know, has he got a concussion, has he not? But yeah, there is times when you feel that they're not sort of fully engaged with it and they're not doing it the right way. But I think there'll be a lot of lessons learned, I think, from this this past event that they'll hopefully look to rectify in the future for any events upcoming, which can only make them better. We did have some big news last night from AEW. There was a debut for Mr. Rusev, Mad Dog. Were you happy to see Miro on AEW last night?
Well, you know, I was expecting it to be Kip Sabian's old tag team partner, Brad Slayer, who showed up last night. So, always happy to see Miro, or Rusev, as he was previously known, show up there. Definitely interesting storyline. It's great for Kip Sabian to be involved in a storyline like that. Obviously, I've worked with him at TNT before. On my very first match I ever ring announced, actually, was Kip Sabian and Special Edition as a tag contest going against the Hunter Brothers. So, it's great to see him doing so well. And, you know, brilliant to see them bring in, you know, he is bringing in another WWE guy. But, I mean, you see a lot of people complaining about it. But at the end of the day, I don't feel like he's been given a fair shake of the stick at WWE. And I think going to AEW is probably the right thing for him at the moment. And I look forward to seeing how they use him and what they do with him, to be fair. So, should be good.
Tom, have you got any sort of exclusives about Rusev and how long his deal is? What's expected to be coming from him?
At the moment, very limited information so far has got out. I know Miro has signed for about a year at least, so it is a dedicated contract. I do believe Miro was likely to have debuted before this, and a large part of this is looking at the storyline they've got now. I don't necessarily think that's going to be the A storyline that he is going to produce in AEW, but I suspect the fact that when his no-compete clause expired, the fact that at the time he had COVID may have pushed back initial plans, and he hasn't announced that formally on his Twitch channel, otherwise I would never have mentioned it either. When it comes to that, I'm excited to see where they go next. I think they've got someone very exciting, someone in the AEW system where they can actually script themselves a lot more, who should really soar and really show what they can do, because his improv is better than most that you will encounter. And just to finally touch on the idea that it's bringing in another WWE guy. The WWF's most successful period for the Attitude Era: Undertaker, former WCW guy; Steve Austin, former WCW guy; Triple H, former WCW guy. The Rock was literally the only guy who did not come over from WCW. And you look at WCW when it was at its peak: Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, Hulk Hogan. When it comes to having companies at this level, you're always going to get people going back and forth. We will start seeing people go from AEW to WWE. It's just that you haven't seen it in so long because there hasn't been a competitor. This is normal.
Yeah, no, I sort of understand what you're saying there, Tom, indeed. And Justin, are you happy to see Miro on AEW?
Listen, here's what we get when we get Miro to AEW. I'm looking forward to Miro versus, look at all these matchups, Brian Cage, Lance Archer, all the stuff that we haven't seen, unless maybe it's been on the indies before. So, yeah, I'm always excited to see a great talent in a new environment. So, looking forward to it.
Yeah, most certainly. And you will have the opportunity to see Miro live next May. The Double or Nothing 2021 packages are on sale now. You can secure your place for just £199 or $250, where you will get your hotel stay on the Las Vegas Strip, your tickets to the event. There'll be also exclusive parties, exclusive merchandise, and of course, from the UK, you also have your flights included. Make sure you check those out because they have been selling very well indeed, as you would imagine as well. And certainly something to look forward to once all of the stuff going on outside calms down.
Well, we do have travel protection. We do have everything. Things in the United States, I know it's a little different for you fellas over there in the United Kingdom at this current moment, but as far as pro wrestling and fans in attendance, you can see that everything is moving along at a decent pace over here in the United States. As long as we are all doing, I'm going to Warrior Wrestling this Friday. This Saturday, they kicked it off with Friday Night Lights with a socially distanced, safe, well-run show, which Tony Khan took notice of, and you'll notice there's fans at AEW. So things are moving along. Are we going to have some setbacks? Yes, but it's this period right now with that trial and error that gets you set up so you guys can come over and see me in Vegas in May. So I hope that we all can eventually raise a toast and all be in the same place for once.
Yeah, definitely. Justin, we'll be dressing up as Elvis this time.
There's no doubt that I will be dressing. Unless Mad Dog's coming over, I don't want to steal his thunder. But yes, I will be getting into a silver jumpsuit. It'll be an extra, extra large one, but I'll do it just for you, Danny.
Beautiful. Can't wait to see it. Moving on to Monday Night Raw this week, we finally got to hear from the group Retribution and what their sort of plans or feelings were as to why they've been doing what they've been doing the past few weeks on WWE TV. Justin, I know you've sort of checked out a bit with the Retribution storyline. Did this lure you back in at all?
You know what? Just because I just heard it from you, it did. So I'll be real honest with you, because Monday was Labor Day over here in the U.S., so I did not really pay attention to Monday Night Raw. Did they drop some names? What? Fill me in, fellas.
Yeah, so there was no name dropped. It was just one of those promos where they were trying to explain what they, well, their sort of intentions were and what we could expect moving forward.
What really threw me off is I woke up to a headline that said Dijakovic was kicked out of the tennis match. So I thought, what the heck is going on? You know? I was worried.
Yeah, but there was an image that I saw earlier this week after that segment had happened. Someone had brightened up the actual picture of all the members who were there, and I think people were working out sort of who was involved. But Tom, can you shed any light on this next step for Retribution?
Do you want the names of the people who were there, or...?
I think Justin does, but I mean, if it's all right for you to say them, of course, then it's totally up to you, my friend.
So behind the masks for that, and starting with the two people speaking, so it was Mercedes Martinez who spoke first, it was Dominik Dijakovic who spoke second, Mia Yim was the other one on the front row, and then it was Dio Madden and Mojo Rawley who were on the back row.
Mojo.
There has been a habit over the last few weeks of essentially grabbing people backstage and saying, look, you're in Retribution today. This isn't just a way of just grabbing the nearest person. It also means that you can't be certain that anyone is in it, because at the moment So many people are saying, okay, we've got this person, this person, this person. Mojo Rawley being there really throws a spanner into the works because he can't say definitively. Now, we have seen the branding for Retribution. We have seen the image. They have taken over the Thunderdome. That is because we're going to be getting Retribution merch very soon. We're going to get people wearing that merch. We may well be getting people wearing that in the Thunderdome. Mm-hmm. And the idea going forwards, now that they are exclusively on Raw, the idea is that essentially because people couldn't agree between Raw, between SmackDown, the creative teams there, and especially when it comes to pay-per-view, it is very much a case of only people in creative on Raw have ideas to use Retribution, or a SmackDown don't want them there, where they already have storylines that are really hitting home. So we will slowly see this escalate. We won't get any masks taken off just yet, but around the time of the draft, whenever that is, because at the moment it doesn't have a definitive date, that is when things are going to start moving and we're going to start seeing some masks come off. However, it could be that it lasts just after Survivor Series, because with the draft where it isn't long until Survivor Series. And Hell in a Cell is just within November this year. So that could be a very good starting point for me. Not guaranteed to be at the Thunderdome, because a contract with the Amway Center expires technically before November. So we don't know if Hell in a Cell is even going to be at the Amway Center in the Thunderdome. They would want to use the Thunderdome before that for Retribution. So it depends on a lot of things. Depends on the Amway Center contract, depends who they eventually decide is guaranteed to be in it, and it also depends whether or not they can convince the creative team of SmackDown to use them.
Yeah, I was just wondering then how the Hell in a Cell structure would fit in that current setup that they've got in the Thunderdome. So it'd be quite an interesting one to see how that does go. But Mad Dog, what have you thought of the whole Retribution story at the moment?
Yeah, in the past, I've always enjoyed storylines like that where somebody's like invading and trying to take over. But I felt like this one has been a bit diluted and a bit sort of lost in the shuffle a little bit. Interesting this week, I think the thing Justin would have enjoyed was the fact that Retribution said they are going to punish the WWE for leaving them in this in a cruel, dark world. So that was the thing that stuck with me, you know. So they've actually got like a reason now to be coming and doing what they're doing. And then obviously now they can add some flesh and bones to that storyline and really, you know, show what these guys are all about. So yeah, I think it's only going to pick up from here, really. So so as Tom said, you know, leading up to the pay-per-views, there's more options of what we can do with them and how we can use them. And obviously a few different people have played the characters so far, but nobody's tied into specifically who it's going to be yet, really. So it'll be interesting to see who is revealed under the masks, you know, like the Aces and Eights storyline back in the day with Impact, TNA Wrestling. It was, you know, it's always interesting to see who it's going to be, you know, the surprise element of that, you know, really adds to it. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing where they go with it.
Based on the name so far, that cruel dark world is NXT.
Can you imagine? They drew me in a lot more when I found out that Dijakovic had attacked a Wimbledon line judge. So knowing that he's transcending two sports, I mean, it's getting me excited.
Brilliant. But yeah, just as Mad Dog was mentioning there about the what they were saying on their promo, does that get you excited now?
Guys, I love pro wrestling. I love, but we're doing a lot of stuff over and over and over again. If you're going to do it better. You just said Aces and Eights. We've done Aces and Eights. We've done this. This is stretching out. I'll bite my tongue, and if it turns out to be something exciting, but it's just and I'm not even trying to dog those guys, but it's just we've seen it. I'm old. I've been around. I've seen a lot. I've seen it before. So hit me with something new or hit me, you know, change this a little bit, but we'll see what happens.
Did they ever have anything like this on AWA in the past, an invasion of...
Well, I tell you what, you may make fun of the AWA, but I need you three to go look up the Team Challenge series and find out who was doing socially distanced, no fans wrestling before it was cool in 1990.
I'll make sure I note that down to check that out a bit later. I'll go out of my way to check that one.
Very well.
But an interesting fact that came out from WWE this week is that they're going to stop at their superstars from working with third-party companies such as TikTok, Twitch, and others. Justin, I'll start with you. What are your thoughts about that? Do you think that is a bit naughty?
Well, the language, and I'm not sure if it was official, but when I read the language about WWE saying that they owned their shoot names as well, besides their likeness and gimmick names, that raised a little bit of a red flag, because if you're going to call them an independent contractor and keep them from things such as health insurance, certainly you can't own their name. I can't hire somebody to paint my house as an independent contractor and then said, oh, by the way, I own this, this, and that. So the language, obviously there's much better legalese in there that I would know, and I know Tom would be better at answering. But if that language was true that I read, it's independent contractor and we also own your legitimate names, it's funny. But I do understand they want to control all the money and what's going in and out, but that language to me was very surprising.
Tom, what have you heard about the update with this in regards to WWE giving them an ultimatum?
So specifically starting with the idea of WWE owning real names, the WWE own the name John Cena, as an example. Anytime John Cena films a movie and he's credited in the movie, he pays the WWE for the right to use his real name in that credit. The reason he does that is because he chose to sign a contract which states the WWE will own your name if you sign this contract. Now, I've been unable to confirm that the WWE did say they own people's real names. A number of my colleagues have been unable to confirm this. So I'm not entirely sure they said that to everyone. I think the initial report came from someone who maybe has signed a contract saying that they do own their actual name. But I don't believe that's true for many people. And I believe that is a older contract, whereas the current contracts don't really have that because so many wrestlers are using their real name now. When John Cena chose the name John Cena, most people were not using their real names. You had Steve Austin, who was Steve Williams. He was still wrestling. You had Brock Lesnar, yes, but he had a very different contract indeed. And there's a lot more wiser people now who come into it with leverage already with the company. Ronda Rousey, they don't own her name. No chance in hell. They own very little because Ronda Rousey's contract has been looked over by so many very experienced people that the WWE can't get away with a damn thing. She is an independent contractor. Whereas someone who's just joining the company, chances are, if they haven't had a big moment elsewhere, if they've not come from an AEW, if they've not come from an Impact, they don't really know what they're signing because they don't have experience in companies who will do that, who will try and own your real name. Now, there was a meeting on Monday to clarify everything here. And essentially what it is if you use your real name and the WWE do not have ownership over it, you are absolutely fine. But there is a concern from the WWE that things like their virtual meet and greets are being undercut by Cameo. However, when you look at how much WWE wrestlers are charging for Cameo, that seems to put that to bed. And even though you may think WWE wrestlers are being greedy by doing that, they are in fact protecting themselves from the company trying to stop them from doing so. When it comes to Twitch, a lot of people are safe, but you look at probably the most infamous YouTube channel Twitch creator that there is in the WWE. You look at Xavier Woods, and he is quoted as saying he has no idea if this applies to him or not. So he's just going to keep doing what he's doing. And when you look at the SEO and the titles of his latest videos, one of the latest up-down videos states that Dakota Kai, Shayna Baszler, Mia Yim, and Jeff Minju play this game. None of those are the real names. Hopefully, WWE get a handle of this. They can explain what they actually want to do, and people will be able to make this work, because I do not want gaming content shut down when I have so much fun watching Adam Cole suck at Uno.
Mad Dog, what's your take on the whole party banning from WWE?
Yeah, my only thought about it really was that I think a lot of it, when the guys are on different streams and stuff, it's good advertisement for WWE. And a lot of them, a lot of people like seeing their sort of real characters rather than just the characters they portray on TV. And I think in a way it makes people feel more like they're actually friends with the characters and stuff, and would draw in more fans. So in a way, I kind of feel like the WWE might be shooting themselves in the foot a little bit. But then I don't know the amount of money that these guys are, you know, are possibly losing from things like that. But, you know, in a way, I could see it being a good way to link up and get new fans, you know, from them who might not be familiar with wrestling, but might play, you know, Super Mario or Street Fighter online with one of the wrestlers and be like, wow, this guy's actually famous. Let's check out what he does. And it brings in new eyes to your product. But so in a way, it could be, you know, a bit short-sighted of WWE to just stop them doing it, when in fact it could actually be putting more eyes on the product. So that would be my take on it.
Yeah, no, I'm on your side with that there, Mad Dog, just in terms of obviously getting that extra exposure outside of wrestling, what these guys are doing, to then bring eyeballs onto to WWE's products. It seems like you say they're just shooting themselves in the foot to restrict that, basically, to cut off that sort of extra eyeballs that they could potentially be getting. So it's... it is a strange one indeed. But a bit of good news from NXT this week. Finn Balor is the new NXT champion. Very happy to see him back with some gold around his waist. Justin, I'll come with you first. Happy to see Balor back on top of NXT.
Yeah, 100%. Love Finn Balor. That was a toss-up. Adam Cole, Finn Balor for me. But I was hoping for Finn. I was actually hoping that the match could be been decided during the four-man Iron Man match the week before, as advertised. But yeah, you cannot help but be happy to have a talent like Finn Balor on top of your promotion. So I'm excited.
Tom, what are your thoughts coming out of obviously Finn winning the title, and would Finn have been Karrion Kross's first challenger, maybe, if things had gone to plan?
I don't necessarily think he would have been the first challenger, because Finn Balor operates, or at least operated, in a very specific position in NXT, whereby he was separate from the championship, and it looked like he would continue being separate. But at any point, if they needed someone to wave that flag, Finn Balor was the guy. For a long time now, the thing I've been told more than anything about NXT is that regardless of who has the title, Finn Balor is the top guy. He's beyond face or heel. He's reached that level of notoriety already where people will cheer him because they want to cheer him. Doesn't matter whether he's attacking people. Doesn't matter whether he's dealing in 15 low blows in a match. They're still going to cheer this guy because they love Finn Balor. And I think he's very deserving. The fans couldn't lose. When you look at that fatal four-way, if Gargano was champion, if Tommaso Ciampa was champion, Cole, Balor, doesn't matter. Any one of those four would have been a fantastic champion. So it adds a lot. And I know Finn Balor right at the moment is doing a bit of a media tour. I think it was only about 5-10 minutes ago, my colleague Stephanie Chase released her interview with him, where he's talking about the demon paint and how he felt it held him back, and the way that that really affected him on Raw and SmackDown, because it did become a crutch. It became a point where Finn Balor was a loser and the Demon King was a winner. There was no point cheering for Finn. There was no point caring about Finn. You only really had to care when he started to paint. So I don't think we'll see the Demon paint for a long time in NXT. But one thing we can say with absolute certainty is, at least in NXT, Finn Balor, paint or no, is a winner and he's a deserving champion.
100%. And Mad Dog, happy to see Balor with the gold again?
Definitely, yeah. Only last year did I go to Raw in Liverpool, and my son absolutely loved Finn Balor. He was the person who stood out the most to him. He got a signed autographed photograph of Finn Balor at the end of the show. And, for the kids watching, that's what it's all about. You know, as long as they're enjoying the show and he's the main man, that's great to see. And it was nice to see on NXT this week as well a few other guys, like from the UK I've worked with before, on the show. Nice to see Killian Dane featured for the first big storyline I've seen him have for a while. And obviously then Rockstar Drake Maverick Spud came down and made a bit of a save there as well. So it's nice to see him back involved. and you know, going into a bit of a storyline with the guys out the Undisputed Era there, possibly. So that was nice to see. And you know, I thought the show worked well, and the steel cage match as well was very impressive. Nice to see Mercedes Martinez doing so well on the on NXT after seeing her fight Mare in Norwich last year. She was excellent there going against Soraya Knight. And it's nice just to see people doing well who you've worked with and who you've seen in the past. So, yeah, I think it was a good show. And I think it's a good call to put the belt on Finn Balor. So,
yeah, no, fantastic. Moving forward, Tom, just a quick one for you. Are NXT, AEW going to be resuming going to head-to-head on Wednesdays now? Is there still going to be some different days going forward?
For a little while longer, there's going to be changes to days because of disruption from different sports. AEW, I think, has a few more dates being changed, whereas NXT will settle back into rhythm relatively soon. I know there is a rumor that NXT is considering permanently changing days. That is still very much in consideration. So we've not reached a point whereby any decision has been made. Any rumor stating that is reaching a little bit, but they are considering the option of changing to a different day. I believe we are going to see Wednesday nights continue to be the battleground for a while yet, particularly after recent Chris Jericho comments in which he detailed that AEW was beating the hell out of them and NXT was essentially tucking its tail between its legs and scarpering.
Yeah, no, we've certainly been enjoying that war between AEW and NXT to keep an eye on that. But yeah, no, it's good to know that there's still a few dates coming up that they won't be clashing. That will resume in the near future. But speaking of the future, March 2021, WrestleMania comes to Los Angeles, California, still scheduled for LA, as we know. We have some limited spaces left for our VIP package for that trip there. Of course, with all of our packages, we are Atoll APTA protected, so your travel package will be protected for whatever happens if there is any cancellations with that there. With the VIP package, of course, if you're traveling from the UK, you'll get your round-trip flights. We've also got a four-star hotel just a few short walk away from the Staples Center. We have tickets for all the events, WrestleMania, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and the Hall of Fame, all 100-level lower-tier tickets as well for all those events. There's also our infamous pre-show party with special guests, and a lot more that comes with that, including your airport transfers, your transfer to WrestleMania, to SoFi Stadium and return, and obviously everything that comes with that. Limited spaces left. Visit the website to get your spot now. And as it stands as well, those places are still only £199 to secure your place there. So don't miss out on securing your seat. Moving on to New Japan Pro Wrestling, they announced the G1 Climax 30 entrance this week. Tom, we saw some familiar names on that lineup that will be making their returns from the US. As we know, the borders are now open to residents of Japan that have been obviously away from Japan for this time. But it certainly has made it an exciting lineup. And any ideas on who you think will win that this time around?
It's really hard to say because so many people have had a really big push in the time that some big hitters have been away. I think you can't discount major names like Kenta and Jay White, but really when you look at how it's been developing recently, I would say Evil's going to have a very, very good G1. I think he's got a good chance of being the winner. And I would say Shingo Takagi is probably going to have the best G1 he has ever had with the push that he's had recently. When it comes to eventual winners, natural opponents for Naito, if Naito is in fact still the champion at the time, I don't think people want to see another rematch between him and Evil, but I think that may be where we're going. But I would have no complaints if this maybe was Sanada's G1. All I can say for certain is that we know we're going to get the best matches out of anyone versus Toru Yano.
100%. And yet the G1 does start very soon, actually, and we'll be spanning over a month there, with the final being in mid-October. All the events on New Japan World, of course, and to see all those fantastic matches that will be coming up. And Mad Dog, do you keep a close eye on New Japan?
You know what? I don't get to see as much New Japan as I'd like. I tend to see them a lot when they come over to the UK, and I get obviously all the updates from things like this week. So I saw obviously that a lot of people talking about Will Ospreay being in it, because there's been a bit of controversy about that, obviously. But Will Ospreay's in it. Zack Sabre Jr., someone who I saw a couple of times over in the UK, is involved. And, you know, it's on at such a strange time in the UK, isn't it? It tends to be on in the morning time. So I'll try and catch as much of it as I can, because obviously I've got a little bit of free time at the moment while I'm waiting for this operation I've got. So, yeah, the more of it that's on the TV or whatever over here that I can watch, the more I'll get to see and see what happens there. So definitely intrigued by that for sure.
And Justin, avid New Japan watcher, what are your thoughts?
Hey, I'm solidly behind Jeff Cobb. He's my guy. Yeah. But who is Togo working with?
Evil.
So are you glad, Mike, Mad Dog, are you a fan of Dick working with Evil?
Is this an over 18s production?
Dick Togo, I don't know where your head went, but I'm talking about Dick Togo coming back with you.
We're all big fans of Dick here. We want to see Dick as much as possible. And it's a real shame that there's no Dick in the G1. So kind of what's the point, you know?
Yeah, that's going to hinder you from watching it, Mad Dog, if there's no Dick in the tournament?
I'm still going to watch it. I don't mind.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be some Dick interference throughout the tournament. So we'll certainly keep our eyes peeled for that.
There'll be Dick involved. We'll see Dick slide in and out every now and then.
Yes, Mad Dog. Welcome to the age 16 again. That's how we roll sometimes, especially when we're talking about Togo over here.
Yeah. So don't worry, I've got all sorts of ECW videos and DVDs here. So, yeah, I'm sure we've seen enough of that sort of stuff before.
Fantastic. And Justin, this weekend, Warrior Wrestling returns this Saturday at the Marion Catholic High School in Chicago Heights, Illinois. The event broadcasting live on Fight TV. Wrestling Travel, proud sponsors of that event. It is the first of three weekends that Warrior Wrestling will be running in the outdoor stadium. Social distancing in place, as well as some incredible matches. Justin, do you want to tell us a bit more about it?
Yeah, we're starting September 12th. I will be down there representing Wrestling Travel. So hopefully we're getting some live feed interviews. Obviously, I'm not going to live feed any of the action going on. But we've got the return of Tessa Blanchard, as she main events this Saturday, defending her Warrior Wrestling title against Kylie Rae, which I'm really looking forward to. The only thing we've got in the forecast for us is rain in Chicago, which I will be seeing how that is going to be handled. The show is going to go on, rain or shine. So hopefully it's just a light rain. I know people on Twitter have been asking Steve and Eric if they're going to maybe postpone until Sunday. But, of course, when you have people contracted and scheduled, the show must go on. So not sure how they're going to handle that over the ring, if they were able to maybe kind of tarp it in between. But no matter what, Warrior Wrestling always puts on a great show. It's on Fight TV. Do we have a code that we're giving away?
Yep, that code will be going out tonight on Twitter. So a competition that everyone can join. And all they have to do is like, retweet, follow Wrestling Travel, follow Fight TV, and you'll be in the hat to win.
Follow Warrior Wrestling.
Yeah, and follow Warrior Wrestling.
Yeah, and then this is the Stadium Series, so we're going to be able to talk about this for the next 3 weeks, because there's big matches happening all throughout this thing. Brian Pillman is going to be defending the Warrior Wrestling title, I believe. The second show, there are all Warrior Wrestling. If you get a chance, go to Warrior Wrestling right now on Twitter or on Facebook, whatever it is. Look that up. Just go to their website. Look the matchups up for the next 3 weeks and tell me that they're not putting some of the best matches ever. This is what I like about what we call the super indies. Just like the Independent Wrestling Expo last weekend and Warrior in the past, you're getting a chance to see somebody from Impact versus somebody from AEW, Ring of Honor, New Japan. The main event last time, as you recall, was Brian Cage versus Jeff Cobb, and that ended up being a four-way dance with Lance Archer coming out and Sam Adonis, who, if you haven't had your radar on Sam Adonis, dude is killing it. In fact, you can go to the lockdown sessions on this very YouTube channel and check out my conversations with many of the Warrior Wrestling people going to be on there. So looking forward to another great event. I'm going to be plumb wore out, 3 weekends in a row driving back and forth to Chicago, but I can't think of a better reason than Warrior Wrestling.
Yeah, and just to quickly run through that card this Saturday, as you mentioned there, just in Tessa Blanca versus Kylie Rae for the Warrior Women's title. We've also got Alex Shelley versus TJP, Kimberly versus Thunder Rosa, the current NWA Women's Champion, and who also recently appeared on AEW. Brian Cage versus Alex Zane, Filthy Tom Lawler versus Kevin Koo, Joey Janela versus Warhorse, Dan the Dad, one of my favorites, versus Elena Black. And we've also got the Rascals versus Myron Reed, Chris Bay, and Jordan Oliver, and Isaiah Velasquez versus Dagger. What a card that is indeed this Saturday. And Mad Dog, we've got some TNT Extreme Wrestling returning very soon. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, guys, cannot wait. It's going to be absolutely awesome. We've got TNT, Supreme Extreme. You know, we were slightly limited on how many tickets we could sell for this event, but it has sold out. So that's on Friday the 30th of October. So we're really looking forward to that. Supreme Extreme, going to be a great show. And then also we've got the Ignition show, Nightmare on Fleet Street, which is on October the 31st on Halloween itself. And I've also been told that that has now sold out as well, right up to the capacity we were allowed for that show to keep it nice and safe. The guys have been working so hard to make the shows COVID safe and everything. So we're just hoping now that there won't be any issues from the government. So we're just keeping the faith at the moment that we'll still be able to run those shows on those dates. And we've also got tickets just gone on sale on Wrestling Travel on November the 1st, Sirens Fury, the first ever TNT ladies only show. And there's just been a big match announcement for that one just this week. Millie McKenzie going against her mum, the Session Moth Martina. So a huge match there, already announced on the card. And I'm just looking forward to getting back in the ring and doing what I do best. So, yeah, can't wait to see all the TNT wrestling fans back in Liverpool. And, you know, it's going to be a great weekend. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, we're keeping our fingers crossed that those three events can go ahead. But considering it's Halloween, Mad Dog, have you got your costume picked out at all?
That's it. I've got so many Halloween costumes. You know, I've got so many choices. I believe I've already got my Supreme Extreme outfit sorted. The family-friendly show one could be a bit more of an issue. So we'll have to see. It could be back to the Joker outfit for that one, but we'll see what the boss man says. And then, the ladies show on the Sunday, I'm assuming it'll be one of the, I'll be suited and booted, I'm assuming for that. Maybe jeans if he wants a bit more of a grittier look for Mike Angus on that show day. So we'll have to see.
Fantastic. No, I can't wait to see as well. I'm sure many of the fans will be dressing up as well, considering it's Halloween. But yeah, fingers crossed those events all go ahead indeed. But here at Wrestling Travel, we are looking ahead already to 2022. I know that seems so far in the distance, but we do currently have an option for people to sign up to be the first to know about our upcoming packages for 2022. The first of those packages will in fact be going on sale next month. So if you want to be the first to hear about those, make sure you signed up. You can go on wrestlingtravel.org right now, and the link is there on the homepage to be able to sign up to be the first to know about that. But now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the quiz. Mad Dog, welcome to the WT quiz. This week's theme, I've gone with our lockdown session guests, so some of the familiar names that we've had on our lockdown sessions recently. So I've got five questions in total and a sixth question, which is an AWA question. We normally try and give Justin the chance to pull it back at the end.
This sounds a bit fixed in Justin's favour here. The show, it's about the show that he hosts, did you say?
And the AWA question saves my bacon almost every week, but trust me, you ain't seen nothing until you went up against Kalahue on these. So good luck to you, man.
I had one good week. Calm yourself, Dan.
You didn't warn me about a quiz, Danny.
Yeah, sorry about that, Mad Dog. I like to spring it on. We didn't have one last week, so we brought it back this week for the live.
Let's see how we get on.
Yeah, so what we normally do, ask the question. I'll go to the first person. If they get it wrong or if they get it right, go to the next person, see if they agree or disagree or whatnot there. And then if you get it right, you get the point for that one. I'm going to start with Justin on this one because he hates me going to him first. Question one, which is now at the bottom of the screen. Michael Tarver was part of the original Nexus. Who were the other members on that first night when they appeared on Raw in 2010?
First of all, I want to say that you can get a lot of really good information from the lockdown sessions if you go back on YouTube and check them out. Monster Tarver, one of my favorite guests. If you're missing out, if you're not watching that one, a lot of inside stories talking about them waiting behind the scenes, ready to go out to the ring. So I'm going to take a wild stab. Can you give me the number of people, or am I just blowing in the wind here?
Yes. So you'll be looking for seven other members.
All right. So obviously Tarver, Wade Barrett, Husky Harris, Daniel Bryan. I don't know. That's all I got. I pass. I go to Mad Dog. He's raising his hand.
Was it Skip Sheffield was one of them, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, you who else? Come up with your own.
Who else? Come on.
Who else? So hang on. We've had Husky Harris, Daniel Bryan, Skip Sheffield, Wade Barrett. I'm trying to think who else there was now, isn't it? No, I can't think of any more off the top of my head.
Tom, do you want to add to those names or replace any names?
So we had Barrett, Justin Gabriel. We had Daniel Bryan. We had Skip Sheffield. I don't know if he went by Heath Slater then, but I believe Heath Slater was a part of it. After that, yeah, I'm as confused as anyone.
No problem. So on the original night, the 7th of June 2010, when the Nexus made their first appearance, of course, there was Michael Tarver, there was Wade Barrett, Daniel Bryan, Darren Young, Skip Sheffield, Justin Gabriel, Heath Slater, and David Otunga.
Wow.
With Husky.
I met him in Walgreens once.
Yeah. And Husky Harris joined later on that year. Because I know he was mentioned a few times there, of course.
But legitimately, a very cool story about that hidden in Monster Tarver's lockdown session. There's some hidden gems in that interview. Great guy.
I always thought he was the star there, and it just never happened.
If you got a chance to watch the lockdown sessions, Tom, dude's been powerlifting since the day he left. He's a beast. He is a beast. He reminds me of, like, if Mad Dog were to rip his shirt off right now, I mean, he's probably that big.
Big guy.
Big guy. But, yeah, as we've as we worked out over the past few podcasts, I've not been very good at calculating scores. So if you want to just remember which names you said and just tell me how many you got.
I got 5 out of 7.
No, that's fantastic. So question 2. Justin, I'll come to you first again. Matt Sydal is a former 2-time IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champion. But who was his tag team partner?
Oh, we're going to go right to Japan for me again.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have a clue. I don't even have a guess. I'm going to kick myself for not even having a guess, but my brain is not functioning this morning. It's not fair. I have to do these quizzes in the morning. You guys get to do them in the afternoon. I'm going to pass.
Matt, dog, any ideas?
I'm going to take a guess. Was it Justin Gabriel?
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
Tom, any input on this one?
At risk of embarrassing myself here, I'm going to go with Evan Bourne.
So the answer is Ricochet.
Really?
Two-time right ballpark, I suppose.
The junior heavyweight tag team champions, Matt Sydal and what Ricochet.
Was he going by Ricochet at that time?
He was. This is where you get in my...
Sorry. I just didn't. Because he was Prince Puma for a while, right?
Yeah, I just want to double check that he was going as Ricochet.
He was going as Ricochet, okay.
Yeah, and that was in 2016 that they won those twice there. So no questions correct there. So question 3. Justin, I have a feeling you might know this one. Who did Thunder Rosa defeat to become the NWA Women's Champion?
Allison Kay, I believe it was.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
Matt Dog, would you agree?
I'm sticking with him, yeah. He knows that.
Tom?
Same.
Correct. It was indeed Allison Kay where Thunder Rosa became the NWA Women's Champion. That was January, was it, Justin? Was that right? Early this year?
Yeah, the January, maybe late December, or whatever. But Thunder Rosa obviously making a huge name for herself in the NWA with her appearance on AEW. She's going against Kimberly on Saturday, which Kimberly is one of the best. I saw her at the 2015 King of Trios that Chikara hosted. She was awesome then. I'm looking forward to that match. And I'm also looking forward to the all-women's event. That she's putting on with Mission Pro coming up later on in the month. So Thunder Rosa, killing it.
Fantastic. Question 4. Justin, I'll come to you with this one again. Who did Santino Marella defeat to win the Intercontinental title on his first night on Raw in Milan, Italy?
I'm going to say Umaga.
Is that your final answer?
Sir.
Mad Dog, any other thoughts?
Yeah, I only watched that during lockdown the other week. He came out the front row of the crowd, didn't he, and took on Umaga. And I seem to remember Vince was irate about something, but yeah, I'm pretty sure. I think he's right again.
And Tom?
Well, if not for the fact that people have already said it, I would have had absolutely no idea. So cheers, guys. Umaga it is.
Fair enough. Yeah, it was.
He's doing good.
Indeed, with a bit of help, I believe, from Bobby Lashley. Is that correct, Mad Dog? Did he have a bit of help?
Bobby was involved in that storyline leading up to WrestleMania 23 in Detroit, wasn't he, that I went to? So I think it was either in the build-up or just after that. Where was it when Vince had his hair shaved?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, when he had the...
By Donald Trump and the gang.
Yeah.
So it was either just before or just after that occurred, I seem to remember. So, yeah, it was a hot spell in Bobby Lashley's career before he had a few years away, didn't he? And then he's just said this week that he's looking to go for the heavyweight title. So, you know, I hope they give him a chance because his run in Impact was very positive. And then since he's come back to WWE, I felt they haven't used him quite as well. So, yeah, like to see him do some big things, but we'll have to see.
Yeah, I mean, just whilst we're on the topic of Lashley, I've always wanted to see him and Brock go against each other. Whether that's something that'll happen down the line, who knows, but it's one of those I've wanted to see personally. But yes, moving on to question five. Justin, you've spoken to this man recently, Brian Pillman Jr. Who trained him to become a wrestler?
Les Thatcher.
Is that your final answer, Brian
Pillman? That'll be my final answer. Now I'm doubting myself, but I'm going with it.
Matt Dog.
Last year, I met Brian Pillman Jr. It was an honor and a big fan of his father's wrestling. I know it was Brian Pillman Jr.'s birthday this week, so I'd just like to wish him a happy birthday from all the guys at TNT Extreme Wrestling in the UK. And unfortunately, I've not had a chance to listen to that lockdown session yet, so I don't know who's trained him, but I'm hoping that he's watched a few of his dad's videotapes and picks up some of that stuff. And the matches I've seen him have so far, he's been looking good. So I'll just throw in Davey Boy Smith Jr. has been helping train him.
That's a good shout. Tom, what are your thoughts?
As has become traditional, I agree with Justin.
In fact, Mr. Pillman Jr. was trained by Lance Storm at Lance Storm's wrestling school. And that was only a few years ago, in fact. So he sort of trained fairly quickly. Obviously, he's got his dad's genes, definitely, for picking up that fairly quickly. But yeah, Lance Storm responsible for Pillman Jr. But as we said, he's looking absolutely fantastic at the moment. He's certainly worked hard over this lockdown. And as we say, we posted earlier his tweet that we know that he's destined for the big thing. But Justin, I'm disappointed you didn't get that one there, my friend.
You know, Thatcher, Cincinnati, I apologize. Maybe I was just trying to lead Colihue astray. That was my strategy.
Yeah, maybe. But question six, Justin, this is the one that you should 100% get. It's the AWA question. Who was the last ever AWA British Empire heavyweight champion?
My only...
I didn't even know this title exists.
I didn't either. I'm just going to guess Lord James Blears.
Mad Dog, any idea?
I'm going to take a guess at... I'm even thinking about the year now. Oh,
yeah. What
I'm
going
to say exotic Adrian Street.
Tom Colihue, any ideas?
Based on the fact Justin hasn't even heard of it, it could be literally any time ever. So I'm going to take a guess myself and just go with Dynamite Kid.
Fair answers. The answer was Billy Robinson.
Great. What? So what was the last year? What was the year of that there, Danny?
So the last year was 1979. Way before my time. I don't know about you guys, Justin, but yeah, Billy Robinson, born in Manchester. I was reading a bit about him earlier that he came back to the UK after his wrestling career and helped train a few guys up things. But
he was ridiculous. In fact, if you guys get a chance, try to find the movie The Wrestler and watch it. Now you're going to be thinking the latest one that came out. I'm talking the one that starred Vern Gagne.
74.
Yeah, you got to watch that one. Mad Dog, you can come on the show anytime now. We got an AWA guy here.
I'll tell you, a guy in the UK who absolutely loves Billy Robinson is the current Britannia Wrestling Promotions champion, Matt Fox, Foxy Matt Fox, Captain Wristlock. So he's a huge fan of Billy Robinson and studies his work. So, if you're ever checking any of that out, make sure you have a look up with Foxy as well, because he's our current champion of Britannia, and he's a big fan of Billy Robinson, takes a lot of his techniques and methods there. Bit of shoot wrestling and catch. A lot of catches, catch can. So, worth a watch.
Sounds like he's a good candidate for the lockdown sessions, if you can throw him my way.
Definitely, my friend. Give him a call. I'll send him your way, JC. Appreciate it.
Brilliant. So, tallying up the quiz, who won? Because I'm no good with the maths.
Well, I got all 10 of the guys on the first answer. No, I lost the first one. I have no idea. I got two right. I know I got two right.
We all got a few of them. I got two right as well. I would have liked to have got Lance Storm, but I didn't.
Why don't we call it, hey, it's a tie. But what we'll do is next week, we're going to settle this live in the ring at podcast number 11. I thought you could do your best William Regal there and come out and save the show, Danny.
Yeah.
He saved the show, did he?
Yeah. It's going to be a triple threat quiz, brother.
There we go. Yep. We'll certainly have a look into that for next week. But that concludes our episode 10 Wrestling Travel Live podcast. And of course, thank you to our guests for joining us. First of all, Tom, as always, thank you for joining us on this Thursday afternoon. And of course, where can we find yourself for your news and analysis?
News and analysis, you can find it instantly at Twitter. That is at Colohue, C-O-L-O-H-U-E. You can find me on YouTube, which is just my name, Tom Colohue, at YouTube. And we are doing regular shows after SmackDown, which is my night, on the Sportskeeda Facebook and YouTube channel. Straight after SmackDown, last week we got 27,000 views, or at least it's very close to that now. So it's been going really well, and I do implore anyone who wants to check it out to pop over to that.
Fantastic. And of course, make it his Wrestling Travel podcast debut. Mad Dog Mike Angus, where can we find you in the future and on online?
Oh, mate, I'm at Angus Mad Dog on the old Twitter there. So make sure to check that out. That's pretty new. So get that some follows. It definitely needs some views on there. And I've got my Instagram as well available, which is Mad Dog Mike Angus. And I'm on the Facebook as well. So that's Mike Mad Dog Angus. And obviously, check out TNT Extreme Wrestling in Liverpool in the UK. And we've just got up to 10,000 followers. So a big thank you once again to all our people who check us out, all our fans worldwide. Thank you so much for that. And also, I just want to offer a quick congratulations to JC. Justin, well done at getting the views on the YouTube channel. You've done a great job there. Up to over 1,000 subscribers now on Wrestling Travel YouTube, which is an immense effort, mate, so well done. And nice to meet you, Tom, and thanks so much for you guys having me on today. I've had a great time. Thank you so much.
No, we appreciate you coming on, Mike Dog, and hopefully we'll get you on in the future sometime. And of course, good luck as well with the hospital appointment in the future. We hope it all goes well. And Justin, any final words, my friend?
Hey, you can find me on the Twitter machine at Clapper 77, but more importantly, you can find me on TikTok at JC. It's JCATWT. So JC at WT. I'm kicking butt with some wrestling clips. Not doing any fancy dances yet. I'm waiting for Danny to do it. But yes, congratulations on us for hitting 1,000 on YouTube. Thank you, Mad Dog. TNT's hit 10,000. Just behind Mr. Colohue, who hit 10,000 followers on Twitter last week. So Danny and I are hoping to hit 1,000 followers on Twitter one of these days, but we'll do it.
I mean, I'm personally not too bothered, but definitely, definitely you guys build your profiles. But no, it's been fantastic as always, and we look forward to seeing you all again next week for episode 11. And we hope you stay safe and have a fantastic weekend.
And I'm just hoping that we hear something between now and next week from Wimbledon on the latest with the Dijakovic incident, because I'm concerned.
Hopefully we'll get an update for you there, Justin. Thank you very much.